place among both groups. But Hor answers him that he couldn't serve two commanders, and he wanted to choose between his conscience and his commander. The Egyptian thinker and dramatist Abdurrahman al-Sharqawi has tried in his poetical drama to show Imam Hussein's motive of his uprising against Yazid. He also tries to awaken his society through explicating Imam Hussein's character. He has versified some lines as if the Imam had told them. Part of his poems read, "Remember me as you will find every virtue in me. I am the lonely who has been wronged. Now time has turned in a way that there remain only vices and praiseworthy virtues have perished. So remember me while courage has blended with idiocy and benefit has become the criterion for honesty and eloquent orators are like those who have failed to speak. When you behold silence against deception or witness submission to humility, do know that I will be beheaded again, and I will plunge in my blood thousands of times every day. Yes, they keep beheading me so long as a group is living in humility and disgrace. As long as a man like Yazid rules them and he does whatever he wishes, as long as the time is such, the martyr's wound will curse you as you have not learned his message. So reach the martyr's blood."
تمام ارزش ها و صفاتی که انسان احترام میگذاره همه این ارزش ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
Universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time. And in today's world, overcome by evil and darkness, and oppression and slavery, and tyranny and falsehood, a quick look into this beacon of truth and justice, a look into the universal persona of Imam Ali, is greatly useful for making and changing our lives, our families, our societies, and our world into the beautiful world that Allah has planned for humanity.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: الصدقة دواء منجح، وأعمال العباد في عاجلهم نصب أعينهم في آجالهم.
Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said, "Charity is an effective cure, and the actions of people in their present life will be before their eyes in the next life."
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio. The program is To My Brother, and we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Dear friends, when discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali, we find that His Eminence, the first divinely appointed Imam, spoke about certain ideas and concepts which truly are quite beautiful, magnificent, but more importantly, they are lessons that can be practically applied in the present day. We find in this one place where Imam Ali alayhi salam speaks with one of his companions by the name of Kumail. When he speaks to Kumail, he talks about these awliya of Allah, these friends of Allah, these near ones to Allah, these representatives of Allah, these vicegerents of Allah, and how they are present in every age. Now, these representatives that are from Allah are not limited to just the infallibles and the immaculate imams. Of course, if we kind of think of it in a pyramid, for a lack of a better term, but when it comes to a pyramid, we have Allah at the top, then we have these divine messengers that are sent by Allah with the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household being at the top of those prophets, and of course, then we have the immaculate and infallible imams with Imam Ali alayhi salam at the top. And then we get to the religious scholars, these very honorable and righteous religious scholars, and then down and further until we get to people like ourselves, which are, of course, the common people who are in search of knowledge and wisdom. Now, these awliya of Allah, these vicegerents and these representatives of Allah, Imam Ali alayhi salam has described them in many places, saying that they have knowledge which has led them towards yaqeen. Of course, they are honorable, they are righteous, they are truthful, they protect, and they are the guardians of the religion of Islam and the message of Islam and the message of the prophets in the Quran. And in one last place, Imam Ali says that these individuals who are this connection between humanity and the Ahlul Bayt, these people, they live in this world with their bodies, but their spirits are resting high above in the heavens. Now, if you were to read a little bit about spiritual wayfaring and this seir and suluk, again, spiritual wayfaring of these very spiritual individuals, of course, such as Imam Khomeini or Ayatollah Taqi Behjat or Ayatollah Hassanzadeh Amouli. These kind of individuals, you will see that truly their bodies are here, but their spirits are soaring in the heavens. Imam Ali then says, these are the vicegerents of Allah upon this earth, and they are the callers to Allah's religion. How I yearn to see them. A beautiful, profound, thought-provoking lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali, alayhi salam.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of iRib English Radio, the program To My Brother. I'm Atta, the producer of this program, and at this moment, I invite you to listen to the Arabic text of Ziyara Aminullah along with the English translation. Please stay tuned.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم إن قلوب المخبتين إليك والها وسبل الراغبين
O Allah, verily the hearts of those who surrender to Thee are full of passionate love. The path of those who long for Thee is the straight, true road. The instructions given by those who lead on Thee are distinct and precise. The minds of those who are aware of Thy reality are filled with awe and reverence. The call of those who invite unto Thee is loud and clear, and the doors of approval are kept open for them. Whoso submits his supplication to Thee receives a favorable answer. Whoso turns repentant unto Thee gets acceptance and amnesty. Whoso bursts into tears in fear of Thy punishment obtains mercy. Whoso seeks redress from Thee finds the required assistance at his disposal. Whoso asks for Thy help, procures the aid as a gift. Thy promise made with Thy servants is fulfilled. Whoso asks for pardon of his errors finds them reduced to nothing. Whoso does everything for Thy sake discovers that each and every deed has been preserved. The means of livelihood available to the created being come from Thee like a rainfall, and in addition, many recurring favors and bounties reach them in regular succession. The sin of those who ask for forgiveness are overlooked. The wants and needs of all that which has been created by Thee are properly satisfied. Those who put forward genuine demands get more than they ask for, one after the other, again and again. For the hungry, wholesome food is arranged. For the thirsty, clean water is available in abundance.
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen, even in his personal life. You know, it's amazing. I don't know whether he used to do this every Ramadan or not, but in Kufa, last Ramadan, he even divides the days. One night for iftar he will be, and the sahar will be there with the family of Hassan. Another night he will be with Hussein. A third night he will be with Zainab and Abdullah bin Ja'far. On the eve of 19th, he was with Umm Kulsoom. Even in dividing his time, he is keeping this fairness and justice in his mind. And of course, he will be with his own family at that time. The iftar came. Umm Kulsoom brings what? You know, when the father goes to visit the daughter, it is normal in our culture, whether you are from Middle East or South Asia, you would like to prepare whatever you can. But this was not an ordinary father. Yes, he was Amir al-Mu'mineen, Khalifat al-Muslimin, but he was Imam al-Muttaqeen, whose own personal life was a very simple life. And therefore, Umm Kulsoom, keeping that simplicity in mind, presents what as iftar? Two pieces, two loaves of bread with a bowl of milk and salt. Salt we do not even consider to be part of the food. We just test it before we eat, isn't it? Because it's sunnat. Amir al-Mu'minin looks at that and she says, "Oh my daughter, you've given me bread, that's fine. But take one of these two things away, either the milk or the salt." I don't remember the riwayat. Probably Umm Kulsoom wanted to take the salt away, but he said, "No, leave this. Take the milk away."
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, "Perform pilgrimage to Karbala and don't stop doing this, for Karbala has embraced the best son of the prophets."
The wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Allahu Akbar! The war in Yemen has killed thousands of people and left a large portion of the population on the verge of starvation. But 2 months ago, a spark of hope was reignited among the Yemenis. The Saudi-backed coalition and the Ansarullah resistance movement announced an extension to the 2-month truce, which was agreed upon in April. But now, the same hope has transformed into fear and anxiety for the civilians as the war-ravaged country awaits 2 scenarios, a new cycle of war or an extended cessation of conflict. The United Nations-sponsored truce has been the longest respite Yemen has seen during the war. But even though the truce lasted, despite multiple violations from the Saudi side, there have been no reports of an extension. As the expiration approached, the UN ramped up its efforts to renew the agreement, which it says has resulted in improved humanitarian conditions and has led to a significant decrease in civilian casualties. The truce brought immense relief to civilians, but its true potential regarding effectiveness and longevity remain under question. One issue that persists is Yemen's Ansarullah resistance movement being dissatisfied with its implementation, saying the Saudi-led coalition has not fulfilled its obligations. Experts have also criticized the truce for failing to address the main and underlying issues behind the war.
Well, this truce was not fully respected by the Saudis, who did block shipments and engaged in a couple of skirmishes, but it was still much better than the previous state of affairs. And that currently it seems to be expiring without serious action to make it permanent, presumably mainly because, the Saudis are not willing to let go of this stranglehold they've got right now on Yemen, and they're not willing to let go of their hopes for establishing a puppet regime and getting control of this geostrategically crucial area. And the West has apparently decided to let them.
Saudi Arabia launched its war on Yemen with the objective of installing a Riyadh-friendly regime and crushing the Yemen's Ansarullah resistance movement. But while the Saudi-led coalition has failed to achieve its goals, the war has spawned the world's worst humanitarian crisis. The ongoing war on Yemeni people has also sparked global outrage over grim violations of human rights. The United Nations Committee Against Torture has voiced concern over the torture and ill-treatment of Yemenis by the United Arab Emirates, armed forces, state security agencies, and on-state armed groups. Earlier this year, the UN expressed concern regarding the civilian casualties in Yemen. Many rights organizations have also condemned the acts of aggression against the Yemenis, especially children and women, and denounced the continued international silence on the crimes. But the June ceasefire, especially its extension in April, raised the prospects of peace in a country that has only faced destruction and gloom over the past years.
Well, it would be nice if a habit of peace had been established so that the hot war doesn't break out again right away. But again, this truce was not fully respected by the Saudi side. And the fact that they haven't been able to extend it is a bad sign. It suggests that the Saudis are unwilling to essentially admit that they made a mistake when they entered this war, and that they can't gain control over Yemen. And that admission would require a big change in policy, and right now they're not under enough pressure to do it. The oil prices have gone up. The Saudis are doing okay financially. They apparently are under no pressure whatsoever from the Biden administration to roll back or extend the truce or negotiate a lasting peace. So I don't see any indication, unfortunately, that the truce will continue.
Yemeni officials have, however, expressed their doubt over a third extension of the ceasefire. They say the UN has failed to bring the much-needed breathing room for civilians. Another matter which seems to be behind the Yemenis' doubt is the Saudi-led coalition refusing to fully commit to the terms of the truce, including halting its attacks. Natural gas is one of several commodities massively impacted by the Russia-Ukraine conflict. The European Union receives about 40% of its natural gas from Russian pipelines, about a quarter of which flow through Ukraine. And now, in light of sanctions raised against Moscow and the months-long war, energy truly seems to be at the front and center of the conflict. Natural gas prices reached record highs in October 2021, and prices have kept climbing since hitting a new all-time high in March. Prices on the Dutch TTF hub, a European benchmark for natural gas trading, more than tripled between February 16 and March 7 before pulling back. Russia has been accused of using its natural gas as an economic and political bargaining chip. But despite all this, natural gas has continued to flow to Europe, except for a few extreme cases. An example of this would be Germany accusing Moscow of engaging in power play over energy exports. This as Germany, which imports 40% of its gas from Russia, sanctioned Moscow and is now facing record inflation in light of surging prices. Now, Latvia has joined Poland, Bulgaria, Finland, Netherlands, and Denmark in being cut off from Russian gas. Gazprom says it has halted gas supplies to Riga in light of their violation of supply conditions. While Russia did not specify the violations, it had already cut off gas supplies to the other countries for refusing to pay in ruble. Riga had already decided to ban Russian gas imports from January 2023, and last week it even said it was not buying Russian gas from Gazprom. And on Saturday, Latvia said that Gazprom's decision would have little effect on the country. But while many European countries have expressed similar remarks in light of Russia's bans and rises in energy prices, their decisions seem to be going against their national interests, mainly as they have made such remarks while failing to find alternatives to cheap Russian gas. So what seems to be the case is a political decision at the expense of the people who have thus far incurred the unbearable rising costs of living.
Well, no. There is a very high-stakes game of geopolitical poker going on here, and Europe does need Russian gas. At the same time, these countries, many of them, I mean, Latvia, Poland, Bulgaria, are in the forefront, Poland, in the forefront of countries that want to defeat Russia, basically. I mean, they believe they have the moral high ground, that they have a good cause, but they really want to stick it to Russia. That is their goal.
Russia is the largest exporter of natural gas globally and the second largest producer behind the US. For decades, Russian natural gas has powered European homes and industries. In 1968, Austria and the Soviet Union signed a gas deal, and in the early 70s, natural gas shipments began arriving in West Germany. But a 1981 CIA intelligence assessment of a proposed 3,000-mile-long natural gas pipeline from Siberia to Western Germany warned of a trouble ahead. It said the pipeline would be a reliable source of gas for the continent, but would also give the Soviets political leverage over Europe. Now those problems are ringing true, but only since EU and the US have sanctioned Russia, leaving Russia with no choice but to exert energy pressure on Europe. As Russia tightens its chokehold on supplies of natural gas, Europe is looking everywhere for alternatives. Coal is back on the table and deals are being struck with new partners. Despite all this, fears are growing across the continent that a Russian gas cutoff will force governments to ration fuel, risking both jobs and people's lives. Now the race to find alternatives to Russian gas has accelerated, but the question remains as to what happens if the economies tank badly, as they seem to be, and no alternatives are found. Will the EU unity against Russia fall apart?
I do not know the answer to that. Certainly, this puts great stress on European unity. In the long term, there are alternatives to Russian energy. Although Russia, you know, it's attached to Europe, it's part of the greater Eurasia region, and it is a source of not just gas and oil, but many, many other raw materials, which are now being cut off. And Europe and Russia are having a really painful divorce, and it's Europeans governments mean for Russia to suffer the pain, but in fact, in a form of blowback, they are suffering it too.
Indications that such unity is bound to fall apart are already emerging. Some EU leaders are already calling for a reconsideration in the bloc strategies. Some have even labeled Europe's attempts of replacing Russian gas as being on a knife on edge. But despite the heavy costs incurred by Europeans, the bloc's leaders seem to have set their eyes on continuing their way, and experts say their problems may only worsen in the future.
The U.S. economy has entered a recession. Based on the official definition of a recession, when the economy contracts for two consecutive quarters, that is the definition of a recession. Recession fears for the U.S. have been ongoing for some time. One of the factors which speeded up the decline of the economy was energy prices, which have affected the prices of goods, from food to basic stuff, leading to inflation. The U.S. is experiencing over 9% inflation, something it has not experienced in over four decades.
The American economy is being bashed from pillar to post right now by a whole range of factors, but certainly it's going into recession because there's severe headwinds being caused by, first of all, the government cutting back on its spending in a ridiculous attempt to balance its budget, which it should not be trying to do in the first place, and then high interest rates compared to what they have been in the recent past, even though they're below the rate of inflation, meaning that households are no longer borrowing, and in fact they're probably paying their level of debt down.
The U.S. president has been trying to portray this as a temporary phase, which the U.S. economy will overcome.
We're not going to be in a recession, in my view. The employment rate is still one of the lowest we've had in history. It's in the 3.6 area. We still find ourselves with people investing. My hope is we go from this rapid growth to a steady growth.
But as things are going, especially the war in Ukraine, this is anything but temporary. The mayor of New York has painted an even bleaker picture. He has said that we are in a financial crisis like you can never imagine. Wall Street is collapsing. We are in a recession. The poor state of the U.S. economy is typical to many economies around the world, especially the ones in Europe. One of the telltale signs is the price of energy, which has affected Europe so badly that economies in countries like Germany, the UK, France, and Italy are all experiencing GDP contractions or slow economic growth. The Ukraine conflict is definitely one factor weighing down on the economies, but it would be wrong to blame the negative economic performance just on the war itself.
No, I don't think the government's done a good job because all last year this began, and they did nothing because they thought it was temporary. And, you know, during the pandemic, everybody got passed out money, including stores and all of that. And so it's like too much money floating around. They were very late to the game. And I don't think the administration's really put it as a very high priority.
Consumers are being bashed by inflation running about 5% per year higher than wage rises. Now, in that situation, consumers are likely to be trying to do everything they can not to spend.
The U.S., similar to Germany, is carrying a deficit. That is when companies import more and export less, dynamic that weighs down on the GDP. Yet, the future looks bleak. As economies are still facing the COVID pandemic, with supply chains not fully recovered, the U.S. is pursuing an aggressive policy towards China, which involves a trade war. Europe is bound to follow the U.S. lead, which can only make matters worse for their economies.
The United States has given the green light to more arms sales to East Asian nations in a bid to counter China. The package of arms and munitions, which is worth $900 million, has been approved by the State Department and is set to be sold to Australia, Japan, and Singapore. A potential deal with Australia includes 80 Lockheed Martin precision-guided air-to-surface missiles and associated equipment. The deal, which is said to be worth $235 million, will allow Australian jets to stay outside the range of the opponent's air defense units while launching attacks. Back in April, Canberra approved that $2.44 billion US dollars worth of, quote, improved weapon capabilities be quickly delivered to the country from the US. Australian officials claim they need the equipment to meet the country's increasingly complex and challenging strategic environment. The package for Japan would include 150 advanced medium-range air-to-air missiles. The missiles, which are to be installed on the country's F-35 fighter jets, are worth more than $290 million. Singapore will receive $630 million to supply its fighter jets with air-to-air missiles. Australia, Japan, and Singapore are considered US allies in the Indo-Pacific region against what Washington describes as the rising threat from China.
Yeah, this one, these sales of weapon to Japan and Singapore basically came after a speech of General Milley, where he complained about the aggression, the posture of the Chinese military, especially the pilot, when they intercept any aircraft from the United States or from their ally. So they said that they wanted to give weapon to be effective against possible interception of aircraft.
The sales of advanced weapons to U.S. allies in the region come amid rising rivalries between the United States and China. Washington is pursuing a policy of cooperation and coordination with regional countries against China. It aims to push these countries to contribute more to joint regional military programs. It's now believed that the United States, which has been the preeminent military power in that region for decades, can no longer guarantee by itself a regional balance of power. Global geopolitics is changing, contrary to the expectations and demands of politicians in Washington. It's now an open secret that China is a rising military and economic powerhouse in the East Asia region. With major advances in missile technology, naval forces and intelligence, China is well on its way to becoming world-class military power. It has already surpassed Washington in several areas. And apart from that, China has massive economic ties with the regional countries.
With the exception of four countries that are already, for historical reasons, very much linked to the United States from a military point of view, it means South Korea, Japan, New Zealand, and Australia. All of the other countries here are quite difficult that they can enter in a kind of alliance, a military alliance, as the NATO in Europe. There are many reasons, political reason, but also economic reason, because China is growing so fast and their economy, the economy of these countries, are very much interconnected with the China one.
China is concerned about the belligerent rhetoric coming from the U.S. Beijing and Washington have been at odds over several issues in recent years, including trade and the South China Sea. But Beijing's ultimate concern is Washington's meddling in Chinese Taipei. China has made it clear that it will not allow the self-ruled island to secede. It has already strongly warned against a potential visit by the U.S. House of Representatives Speaker Nancy Pelosi. And the dispute over the strategic island may prove to be a real challenge between the two superpowers in the coming years.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أي
الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج
السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة الزهراء السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين Assalamu alaikum, respected brothers and sisters, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. We really welcome you and thanks for joining us again.
Assalamu alaikum.
So, inshallah, in this session, we will continue through the lesson Al-Mad that we explained. We practiced how we stretch the sound, how we, for how many counts we stretch the sound, yes?
Yes.
Let's practice some examples with natural Mad, okay? Surah Maryam, that you already have opened the Quran and you are on, on Surah Maryam. So, let's recite this surah a little, okay? There are some examples for natural Mad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
شيطان الرجيم ألف مد أوكي
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ما أوكي What is it?
ما
ما Example for
ألف
كاف ها يا عين صاد
كاف ها يا عين صاد
أحسن ها يا examples right for natural mad so remember just whenever you have ألف مادي واو مادي and ياء مادي that's all about natural mad if there is no حمزة after Okay.
ذكر رحمة ربك عبده زكريا
ذكر رحمة ربك عبده زكريا
عبده
واو مد The tiny واو, baby واو. Do you see that?
Yes.
So this is واو مد. So this is natural.
I have a question. So why didn't they just put a dhamma or واو? A big one.
Why they don't put a
dhamma or a waw instead?
Because that is not part of the word. If they put a waw, a dhamma, waw after ha, in complete waw, okay? It means that abdahu, ha, has another letter with it, waw. But that's a wrong word. Okay? This is just for like beautifying the letter, okay?
But it still has the same sound.
Yeah, the same sound. But it doesn't have that letter. There is no extra letter, okay? Just extra sound we have. No problem, okay? Good question. But if we put a wall, a complete wall, it means we have added a next letter to the word while it's wrong, okay? That's the only letter it has. So only the sound we stretch. We said that tajweed is all about?
Beautifying.
Beautifying sounds, okay? Of or recitation.
Yes.
So, next ayah. Zakariya,
yeah. Yes.
Although it has a mad on the top, yes.
Yes.
It means if you connect it to the next ayah, like this. عَبْدَهُ زَكَرِيَّا إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا. This way, if you connect it, you prolong the mad, okay? You apply the rule of the mad. But when you make a pause, okay? Inshallah, we'll study. This is mad al-'aaridun lis-sukun, okay? We apply the mad, okay? And because we stop here, we make a pause. We just, apply the rule of natural mad instead of the complete mad, okay? Natural mad. Where's alif mad?
When we join them?
Inshallah, in mad, arid lisukun, I will tell you that, okay? Inshallah. So, next ayah. إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا.
إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا.
You will also learn, okay, that when you should prolong it for four counts, for six counts.
إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا. إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا.
And you will inshallah learn, okay, how to apply the rule of mad with six counts or four counts, okay, and in the next types of mad you will learn this. So next ayah, qala. This is example for natural mad. Qala,
qala rabbi inni wahana al-'azm minni. قال رب إني وهن العظم مني.
Great. قال إني مي مني. Three examples for natural.
واشتعل الرأس شيبا. واشتعل الرأس شيبا. وَلَمْ أَكُنْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيًّا. وَلَمْ أَكُنْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيًّا.
أحسن أحسن ما شاء الله. So we have many examples.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا. الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا. ورسول الله معلمنا. هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا. ورسول الله معلمنا.
Now let's go for the next type of mad, okay? Mad al-badal we have. Mad al-badal, it means like there is a hamza before mad letters. Suppose alif maddi, okay? Alif maddi, there is a hamza before. This is a sound. Even if hamza it is, okay, it has the a sound. Only the name is, if there is no hamza, it was natural mad. Yes?
Yes.
Also, if there is Hamza and then Alif Maddi, we have Hamza plus Alif Maddi. How do you read it? That's easy.
Sir?
The same as natural mad it is.
Like in Fuad, there's a Hamza on the top of Wow.
Wow, Fuad. Fuad. Okay? But in Persian, we call it Fawad. With Wow, yes? In Arabic, it's Fuad. Yes? So, let's practice this example.
بِآيَاتِنَا. بِآيَاتِنَا.
This is Hamza plus Alif Mad. Tina Noon plus Alif Mad. So the Hamza plus Alif Mad is called Maddul Badal. But the Noon plus Alif Mad is called natural Mad. Maddul Tabi'i. Yes, natural Mad. Okay? So, only the names are like this, okay? In Tajweed books, if you refer to the Tajweed books, okay, the names are like this. But the examples or the way you pronounce for two counts, the same as natural man.
Yes?
This mud that you said now, it was the alif should after Hamza?
Okay, yeah. The alif mad should be after Hamza. Okay. In natural mad, we said that if there is no Hamza after.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yes.
After. Because if there is a Hamza after that, inshallah, we'll say that this is in next type of mad, okay? We have, for example, here in mad wajib, okay? Mad wajib mutasil or mandatory joint mad, you'll study, okay? That Hamza, if Hamza is like part of the word, we apply one rule. If it is not a part of the word, we apply the next rule, okay? We'll study this. In natural mad, if there is no Hamza after the Alif Maddi, or after the Waw Maddi, or after the Yai Maddi, natural mad you apply, okay? But if there is a Hamza, okay? A Hamza after the Waw Maddi, Alif Maddi, or Yai Maddi, inshallah we'll see how we apply the rule, okay? In mad wajib for mutasil and mutasil, okay? So this mad al-badal we practiced. Let's practice two more examples. Ra'ahu. Fara'ahu. It's not on the Quran, in this surah, okay? Fara'ahu.
Fara'ahu.
Okay. Starts with, it has a hamza plus alif mad. This A sound, it's very easy.
For two counts.
What a big name it has. What a simple rule it has. Yeah?
Yeah.
Fara'ahu. A sound.
All of them have just a prolong.
Yeah, a longer sound. Yes.
Just but the places are different.
Yeah. The conditions are, the cases are different. And also the beats or the counts are different sometimes. So these are for the two counts, okay? But inshallah, in the next types of mad, you have four counts, five counts, six counts.
Do we have eight counts?
If you want to stretch the sound, you can prolong it for 100 counts.
If there's a mad, we can prolong it how much we want.
Sometimes it is like this, if you want to beautify. But you should not beautify that much, okay? That it gets worse than worse, okay? And also, for example, you want, the way you want, sometimes, yes, you want to stretch these kind of sounds now. Some of the reciters, they recite this way, yes? They prolong, they beautify. But they understand where they beautify, what word, okay? What letters they have to stretch the sounds with. So, let's get to another example. Repeat. One more time.
Al-ayah.
Fara'ahu. Great. And Al-ayah. Okay. The next type of mad is mad al-iwad. Mad al-iwad, it means the substitution mad, okay? It means we change this mad. Sometimes it means this mad is applied here because of a change. Do you remember in tanween, it's all about tanween fatha. For example, you have ma'an. When you stop here, this mad. This is called maddul iwad. It means the substitution mad or the changing mad, okay? The replacement. It is the substitution for tanween fatha. So a mad or alif maddi, which is used instead of fathatain or tanween fatha, it is called maddul iwad. Iwad, okay?
So it does play football, only work on fatha?
Yeah.
It does only work on fatha?
It has to do with fatha, yeah. Tanween fatha.
Waw maddi on waw tanween.
No. It's all about tanween fatha. Tanween fatha, okay? Not tanween kasra, tanween dhamma. No, tanween fatha. You play football, sometimes you say, okay, in Farsi we said, taweez gun, okay? Yes. You tell the coach, okay, you have to sub me, okay? It means taweez gun, man, okay? Yeah, substitution. Okay, so substitution ta'awiz means you change, you replace the players, yes? So here as well, you replace tanween fatha to?
Yes.
Alif maddi.
Yes.
Alif maddi. That's very easy.
Simple.
So maddul awaz means this. Awaz means you change, okay? And you replace tanween fatha to alif. Alif mad. Let's practice some words.
These type of mads are end of the verses?
No, it can happen
between.
Between the verses.
Oh. So what about the words?
At the middle of the verses, the beginning. Kaf, ha, ya, ayn. This one.
Can be anywhere in the word.
Verse. In the world or in the
word? I said word.
Okay, yes. In the words, yes. It can be anywhere. Beginning and last. So let's practice some words, okay? And then we'll take a break. We'll come back. So, turaban.
Turaban.
Okay, stop here. For example, you're stopping here, okay? The ayah finishes, you stop here. Turaba.
Turaba.
Okay. Amran.
Amran.
Amra.
Amra.
Saffan.
Saffan.
Saffa.
Saffa.
Sabhan.
Sabhan.
Sabha.
Sabha.
Alam naj'alil arda mihadan wal jibal. Like this. You recite, yes? Mihadaw. Tanween fatha it is. But if you stop at the end of this ayah, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادًا وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. This tanween fatha is changed to alif.
These examples are from Surah Al-Adiyat?
No.
No, Naba. Surah Al-Naba. Inshallah, we'll study. So, thank you so much. That was about mad iwad, mad al-badal, mad natural mad, and these things. Inshallah, in the next session, stay with us. We'll go through the next types of mad, okay? Ready to go?
Yes.
Ready to take a break?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you so much. Let's recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil faraja. أين الحسن أين الحسين أين أبناء الحسين أين الحسن أين الحسين أين أبناء الحسين أين الحسن أين الحسين أين أبناء الحسين In solidarity the heavens and earth will grieve divinely pure ones oppressed in tyranny sacrifice their lives for truth and unity equality and freedom for humanity these are the sons of the one that God calls An-Nur as-Siraj The masters of the youth of paradise who gave their lives to guide us on to the right.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.